Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 20 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka, as usual, and wow, I mean, it's getting crazy out there. But it's not getting crazy in here. I actually have a great show for you today. We're going to do a quick update of some stuff that's going on at the CCFR. I'm going to bring on a good friend of ours, Darren Weeks from Black Rifle Coffee Company Canada. And our conversation is even going to include a discount code if you want to check out the very dangerous Don't Hurt Yourself Black Rifle Coffee, which some of their coffees have like 40% more caffeine than regular coffee, something I probably don't need. I'm also going to play an interview that I did with Ryan Stacey, and I think I've talked about this one before. It was the interview where Ryan used to be a movie armorer for a long time, and he's got some movie armor stories for us. So we'll see how that turns out. I'm trying to get quite a few of these stories out of him, but we'll see if they have some career limiting effects on Ryan. But he seems to be willing to talk about it. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back.
Hunters and sports shooters have a lot more in common than they think. Politicians and bureaucrats will never stop pushing toward their vision of Canada where only the police and the military have firearms. All gun owners need to stand together. An attack on one is an attack on us all. Let these people know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms. Donate now or become a member of the CCFR at www.firearmrights.ca.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Okay, before I go to Darren Weeks in the next segment from Black Rifle Coffee Company, I want to give you a quick CCFR update on, and just some information about some stuff that's going on right now. As you probably already know, Bill C-71 is in committee, and there it will sit until all of the expert witnesses and what have you have provided their testimony to inform the government. And, you know, I'm not even going to get into the process. I wouldn't consider myself an expert in that process anyway, but I'm not even going to get into the process because we're going to just stay coupled with reality. Now, as you know, and as I've said, probably, I think since the CCFR came to be, the problem that I've always had is that you have politicians and media types and non-gun owners, and a lot of these people are completely decoupled from reality. They have no connection to reality. And as much as we try to tell them reality, as much as we present the facts, they just can't get it because they live in a completely fictitious fantasy world that just revolves around politics. So nonetheless, we have people on our side of this argument that do the very same thing. So in the interest of staying coupled with reality, we're going to have to confront it. So the reality of the situation is that this bill will pass and it will become law in some form because the Liberals have a majority government and they're not going to be stopped. They can do whatever they want. And the Senate is not much a much friendlier place for us as gun owners either. So what can be gained by testifying? Well, I'm going to answer that in a second. You may or may not be aware the CCFR has been called to testify. So I will be there on May 24th in person, and as will Ms. Wilson. And the both of us will testify at a committee about why this bill is ridiculous and do our best to ask some questions that reveal that the government has no idea how to stop criminals from behaving in a criminal manner. Now, this bill will pass. And it will pass the Senate at some level. But our long game is A, to provide as much publicity as possible so that average people that aren't gun owners really realize the horrible behavior of people that are in government. There's so much bad behavior there. You wouldn't even believe it if you saw it. So anyway, Having said that, we can just embarrass them for acting in such a partisan and disrespectful way to Canadians and especially gun owners, 2.1 million of us that are licensed and probably another million to a couple of million that are in peaceful possession of a firearm. So we're going to bring light to that. Also, we're hoping in the interim to at least at some level try to influence what happens with this bill as it passes through the Senate. So maybe we can even get a few amendments. I am not hopeful for that, but we're going to try everything that we possibly can do to get some amendments to make this, and I'm going to say law, because at some point it will achieve royal assent and become actual law and be implemented. If we can get some amendments to make this law as non-onerous, is that a real word? Non-onerous, unonerous, as possible until we can have that repealed should the Liberals lose the next election. That's what we're trying to do. And we're also trying to embarrass them for their bad behavior. So that's the strategy right now, or the tactics that we're taking. So now, also keep calling Goodale. I know that, when we're all fired up about a new bill or whatever, everybody's got all this extra effort and they throw it in there. And then of course, over time, you're just like, oh, I'm just exhausted. Right. So keep calling Ralph Goodale, keep sending him emails, keep sending him letters, but the phone calls are the most important. And don't forget, you're calling the constituency office. So we're trying to make sure that they, you know, if I were to ask them, let's say in committee, how many phone calls have you received by Canadians at your constituency office, Minister, expressed concern over the negative effects that this bill will have on gun owners? And I don't know, it probably won't comment, but there's all kinds of uncomfortable questions we can ask him about that. And in addition, I'd love it if everyone you know and your families and everybody, anybody that even knows a gun owner, could sign petition E1608, I believe. Is it 1608? I think so. 1608 or 1604. But it's the one that's got 72,000 signatures on it right now. I would love nothing more than to have 100,000. But what would be even better than that is 140, which would exceed the largest, the most widely signed petition in Canadian history, which was the one on electoral reform. So if we could get that up there, then the Liberals would look pretty stupid for, walking out into the hallway in the House of Commons and in the Parliament and saying, well, this is such a fantastic bill that's getting support from both sides of the from all sides, or both sides of the argument, or both sides of the aisle. So let's make sure that that he cannot claim that, and that he couldn't be more wrong. And believe me, I will take that information and the petition and make sure that it's very public how wrong he was. So that's a guarantee for me. Next thing is I wanted to mention to make sure that if you're in a position to support the CCFR, we've got a lot of interesting things coming up, interesting projects, and we want to keep going. So if you're in a position to support the CCFR with a donation or to become a member, please do that. That helps. We can't do the stuff that we do without you. That's just the way it works in this world. One of the other things I like to reiterate is I get in these types of times, I mean, it's all the time, but even worse when there's a bill or whatever, or we're visible out there, is that I get a lot of messages via Facebook and emails and all kinds of stuff. And I know I've said this before, but I'm just a normal person. So it makes me feel bad when someone says, hey, you know, I've got a question, and I don't respond to them. It's not that I'm ignoring you. I just can't keep up. I literally cannot even keep up with my life right now. So anyway, please don't take offense if I don't answer your messages. There's just too many of them. I just can't do it. So anyway, if you do want to get a hold of the CCFR for whatever reason, it's info@firearmrights.ca. That's probably the quickest way to do it. And last but not least, I'm just going to wrap this up, but I did want to mention that our latest gold sponsor of the CCFR's Canada Downrange, which is taking shape as we speak, is Black Rifle Coffee Company, Canada. So thanks very much to Black Rifle for great coffee, and also for supporting the CCFR in such a big way, right? A gold sponsorship is the big one. And during the television show, you're going to see a lot of Black Rifle coffee floating around and people getting bags of that stuff and on the coffee cups and what have you. So really appreciate that kind of support. This is the only way that the CCFR can do, what we do. So That's about it. I'm going to wrap it up. I know it was short, but we're going to come back with Darren Weeks and we'll talk about that sponsorship. Also, I think he's going to give out a coupon code. So it's a little discount there on Black Rifle Coffee. So if you listen in, you will get that. And then I will be back at the very end with Ryan Stacey and some movie armor stories. And then these particular two stories he's going to tell have to do with Steven Seagal. So I hope he doesn't get in trouble for that. But anyway, it should be entertaining. All right. Thanks. And we'll see you when you get back right after this.
There are politicians and bureaucrats in Canada who believe honest, hardworking Canadians cannot be trusted with firearms. These people will stop at nothing to make sure they are the only ones who can possess them. Let them know you don't consent to their ongoing campaign against you. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, now and for generations to come. Donate or become a member of the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights by visiting us at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, everybody, welcome back. On the phone, I have Darren Weeks, who is Black with Black Rifle Coffee Canada. Darren, how's it going?
Great. I got a coffee in hand and it's a nice warm, sunny day at Edmonton. And I'm glad to be on your show. Thanks.
Did you just say it's warm and sunny in Edmonton?
Well, it's not January. It's surprising for May, but it actually is pretty warm here for once. Yesterday was 5 degrees and today I think is 21.
Yeah, it was, what was it? I was out the day before yesterday and it was 28 degrees here. So.
And it never rains in BC, right?
I'm not gloating.
Of course not.
Yeah, well, I got to deal with the rain all winter, right? So
yeah, you do.
Yeah, so I've paid my penance.
Yes, anyway,
really appreciate you being on. And the reason why Darren is on this week is because Black Rifle Coffee Canada has decided to become a gold sponsor of the CCFR's Canada Downrange, our television show. So I wanted to get Darren on and talk a little bit about the company Black Rifle Coffee, why they came to Canada, and also just to broadcast that. And so that when people make buying decisions, they can know what companies are really supporting us as a community. And so that's the deal there. So, you know, that Black Rifle Coffee is a gold sponsor. So there's the announcement there. So what made you think about or consider becoming a sponsor for our TV show, Darren?
Well, you know, some of my team were actually in Edmonton at a big outdoor show down at the old Agricom, and our booth was close to CCFR's. And the first thing was just all the guys you have, I think mainly volunteering, working or volunteering, they were just really, really nice guys. And then we gave them some free coffee, to give away with memberships. And as I got to meet, some of the guys on your team, of course we thought alike and they're just really nice people. So it was really easy to say, hey, you guys, I'd love to sponsor more of what you guys are doing if there's any opportunities. And Rod, within a month later, we're one of your gold sponsors because it was an easy decision to support your organization. You do great things. But, there's lots of organizations out there, but they're not always full of good people. So I was really happy with your team and the people have so much passion. I got to give a shout out to Aaron as well. He's just a fantastic guy. So that's why we pulled the trigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron stayed on it like a dog on a bone. So
yeah, great guy.
I'm really crazy busy. And so it was great to have him helping out there. So a lot of credit goes to Aaron on this one for sure, if not 90% of it. That's awesome. So when it comes to the TV show, anybody that watches are going to see Black Rifle Coffee everywhere. Darren and I are coming up with a plan on how there's going to be bags of coffee flying everywhere and everybody be, Black Rifle Coffee t-shirts and everything we can do. So hopefully that'll represent good value to Black Rifle Coffee.
Well, I know it will, and I've done a lot of advertising in the past, and again, I know it will. We have a lot of customers already who are members of CCFR, and we just did come into Canada in October, and we just turned our Facebook page on 10 days ago, and again, the support's been really overwhelming, and our community, when I say our community, I think our customer base is very similar. Everybody likes to do business with other companies that, have the same philosophies and thoughts and whatnot. So it's been great, again, to, kind of come together and support each other's beliefs, philosophies, and causes.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we really appreciate the help. That's for sure. We're playing a long game, and it's a very difficult and frustrating game. And when we have people helping us, it's really welcome. Now, I think you have a little special treat for the folks that are listening to the CCFR radio podcast, no?
Well, we do, and I appreciate the opportunity to tell this to everybody. So what I decided to do was just to say thank you to you guys and to all the listeners. If you're interested in Black Rifle Coffee, you can go to the website, blackriflecoffee.ca. This only applies to the .ca website, the Canadian version, obviously. And if you want to place an order, whether you've ordered before or this is your first one, we're going to give you a special discount code of 15%, which should take care of your shipping, basically, or a good chunk of it. And Rod, I thought there'd be a really appropriate code so that, you know, everybody would realize, you know, the importance of this podcast. So the code, the coupon code, the secret code, and you can only use it once, is Thanks Rod. So that's the coupon code. So Thanks Rod will get you 15% off an order, freshly ground coffee sent to your door with 15% discount. So thanks for the opportunity to share that with everybody. The shameless plug.
Thanks, Rod. Yeah.
Thanks, Rod.
Okay, I'll have to give you that $30 that I promised you to
yes,
the
exactly.
coupon code. Thanks, Rod. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we really appreciate that. I'm sure everybody's going to appreciate that when they try out the coffee and they get that shipping covered. One thing I will now I'm going to sell on behalf of Black Rifle Coffee because of all the discussions we had. One of the challenges of selling coffee and using shipping is that, you know, for a bag of coffee that you would normally buy, the shipping for one bag of coffee is proportionate to the price of the bag of coffee. It's pretty high. But if you buy multiple bags, then that shipping price gets amortized over a larger order, and it's nowhere near as significant. It's probably now equivalent to driving to the store to get coffee. So
yes,
I'd encourage the folks out there, if they're interested in buying some Black Rifle Coffee, to buy a few bags and make that shipping worth it. So,
yeah, no, makes sense. I appreciate that. And we've got lots of different blends. There's lots of information on the website and products and whatnot. And again, I just want to say thanks for the support, because a lot of your, you know, your customers, they've already bought lots of coffee with us. And if your blend is out, be patient. We're growing very, very rapidly, kind of like, you know, Rod, kind of like your organization, like exponential growth. Everybody seems to love our coffee. So if we're out of a product or two, be patient, because we do freshly roast each and every batch. We'll get it back on the website as soon as possible.
So it's my understanding that there are blends that you have that have 40% more caffeine than your average coffee. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's one. Is this show X? Is it like X rated? I can't talk about the actual names, but there's one coffee, yeah, that's been pretty well known for a little extra boost if you want extra caffeine. So it's called, I'll call it CAF. You could say it stands for Canadian Armed Forces, or you could say it's Canadian as something else. But
we'll okay, gotcha. Right, right.
Check that out.
Awesome. So I think you should maybe change or have a slogan for that, and it should say, you know, CAF, don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, you know, create guns while on this. I'm not sure, but something like that. Should have a disclaimer.
Yeah, that's for sure. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Darren. I really appreciate all your support. We can't do what we do without support from companies like yours. And thanks for coming on today.
Okay, thank you, Rod. And thanks, everybody, for supporting us already.
Right on. Thanks.
Over the past 25 years, tens of thousands of Canadians have had their firearms taken by no fault of their own through arbitrary reclassifications, paperwork errors, or senseless prohibitions. The government's perfect vision of Canada does not include you or your firearms. Let Canada's politicians and bureaucrats know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms by joining the CCFR right now at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, we're back with special guest Ryan Stacey. We're going to have a really interesting discussion here this time. How's it going, Ryan?
It's going good.
Bouncing stuff around. Awesome. Okay, so something that people may or may not know about you is you were a movie armorer for quite a long time.
I was.
And I've been trying to get out of you some good movie armorer stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no plan. So we'll see what we can get out of you and see if we can make them entertaining. So why don't we start with what movies have you worked on, just out of interest?
Well, I worked on all kinds of different stuff, but some of the ones that you might know a little more than others. I did a couple of the Underworld movies with Kate Beckinsale. I did Shooter with Mark Wahlberg. I did Predator movie. I did Deadpool, both. I did one Deadpool, and then I did a little bit on the other one before I ended up leaving the film industry. I did The Revenant. That one was in Alberta. I was there for 5.5 months or so.
Sounds chilly.
It was a little cold at times. The Revenant's actually probably the one that I'm the most proud of. Most of the stuff I did was pretty crappy. People enjoy it. I'm proud of it mainly because we all survived it. It was a hard go, that one was. Mm-hmm. You know, you bring people up from L.A. to do a movie Alberta in the winter, and they really have no idea what they're in for. In L.A., I think cold is like, it's like 3 degrees down here. It's freezing.
Mm-hmm.
But in Canada, Alberta in particular, -3 is t-shirt weather. And, once it starts getting down to -20 and -30, serious precautions have to be taken to make sure that people don't actually die. So, people were not ready for any of that. And they quickly found out that, women's UGG boots are not conducive to keeping your feet warm at -30 in a cold Alberta winter. So.
For sure.
They found out pretty quick.
Now, The Revenant, I mean, there's no modern firearms in there.
No, there wasn't. It was all flintlocks.
That part of your skill set before the movie, or did you have to learn that stuff?
Yeah, I had done some black powder stuff before, but I hadn't done a huge amount of flintlock stuff. I'd done some percussion cap, black powder things for different little bits and pieces, Civil War stuff and whatnot. But full on trapper guns that run off of an actual flint and the full meal deal. Yeah, that was new. And keeping it running in cold temperatures and wet conditions and whatnot was even more challenging actually at the time, but it was good. I have my own flintlock now. So, It kind of grew on me. At first, I was like, I like modern guns and guns that you can shoot 1,000 meters with, this whole flintlock thing. And then, I sort of started getting used to it. And I'm like, these are actually pretty cool. Like these suckers, they throw a big hunk of lead and you can shoot them like 150 meters. And there's a lot of smoke and woof. And, it's pretty cool. So I ended up getting one when I got back.
And you shot it for fun.
Yeah, I goof around with it and have some fun. I'm considering doing a little bit of black powder shooting out at Mission with it.
Holy man.
In the near future, hopefully this summer. So
isn't that interesting?
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. But the whole flint thing, I mean, that's a whole deal in itself, trying to figure out how to nap flints. I mean, or even the angle that you have to put the flint onto the gun and make sure that it strikes the frizzen at the right angle and all that stuff. It's a whole different learning world. So
that's crazy.
Yep.
Now you had to interact with some of those actors. Who is your favorite favorite person to deal with?
On that show or just in general?
On that show.
On that show, Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Tom Good is dude. He's an awesome guy. We went to the range quite a few times together and shot real guns. And this is how cool Tom is. He obviously being a person from outside of Canada can't own guns in Canada. But what he decided he was going to do was buy a bunch of guns. He'll pay all the money for them, and he'll have them available at the range anytime he wanted to shoot them, and he would rent the whole range by himself. He'd go in there, and it would be like 2 or 3 people with Tom Hardy and the thing shooting live ammo. And at the end of the shoot, he gave the guns to the guys at the range and said, here, thanks for helping me out and keeping things going. And he basically just gave these guns that he had already paid for to the dudes at the range.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
So he's got a few bucks is what you're telling me?
He's got like $6 or something.
Yeah. I think, sir, he's got at least double that.
Yeah. He's 12.
Awesome. Well, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever worked with Steven Seagal?
I have many times, as a matter of fact.
You got any Steven Seagal stories?
Oh, yeah, I got a few Steven Seagal stories.
Any of them appropriate for a mixed audience?
Well, they're all pretty, they're appropriate. Probably one of the first times I worked with Steven is, I don't even remember the name of the show. I think it was a movie, but... most of those movies don't go to theaters. They go straight to video kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's the typical thing where he's some sort of a butt kicker and he's out there kicking bad guys' butts. And Steven wants to be accepted as a military person / high-speed operator / whatever the case may be all the time. He wants to be respected that way, which is fine. And so when he meets somebody else that's sort of military and along those lines and can talk the talk and walk the walk and do all that stuff, then generally he gets along with that person very well. So with me, I never had any issues with Steven. He was always great. And we would talk guns all the time and all that kind of stuff. And it came to a point where I could talk to Steven like I was talking to another Army buddy. And for those of you that have been in the Army, you say stuff to your Army buddies that quite often would get you thrown in jail, or at least people would look at you pretty funny in normal everyday life. You do things to each other that, most people would be like, what did you guys just do? So it came to a point with Steven that I could basically talk to him like an Army buddy. And the first time I remember I had him firing a USAS 12, which is a full auto shotgun. Mm-hmm. It's a big, loud, drum-fed 50-round 12-gauge shotgun. And because you're firing a shotgun, you can't constrict the barrel to make it gas-fed, so you have to make the load so hot that it cycles the action. So the flame and the noise out of this 12-gauge USAS 12 was absolutely enormous. And so I had to clear everybody off the set, and everybody that didn't need to be there could be out of there. And so Steven, being the operator type guy that he is, he wanted to do everything as tactically sound as possible. But unfortunately in film, tactically sound doesn't always necessarily look all that great, and sometimes it translates into looking really stupid. So what his deal was in this one was he had to had the USAS 12 in his hands, had to walk out from the edge of this vehicle, the front of this vehicle, out around the front of the vehicle, and take a step and stop in the open and realize that it was an ambush, say some line, and then step back behind the vehicle and just let rip with the USAS 12 and shoot up all these bad guys. So they call action, and I'm standing over by Video Village where after I've made the gun hot and cleared everybody out, made it all safe. I'm standing over by Video Village, which is where the director is standing, and watching the monitors to make sure that the shot he's getting looks perfect. And so Steven walks out from behind the vehicle and sees that he's in the ambush, says his line, then switches the gun into the other hand, because he's facing the other direction now, walks back behind the vehicle, switches his hands again, changes his feet, and then lets rip with the USAS 12. So after the enormous din of this automatic shotgun firing is over, I can hear the director raging behind the monitor saying, what the heck is he doing? Switching his hands like that. Who did that? Who told him to do that? And I'm like, well, it wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it. So he goes, Ryan, get over there and tell him not to do that. So a little background on Steven. For me, he was awesome to work with, but for other crew members, he can be a little bit hard on the other crew members at times. And there's crew members that basically are not allowed to talk to him and some other stuff like that. So So I'm over there and I'm like, okay, whatever. So I'll go over there and I'll, how am I going to do this? Okay. I'll just talk to him like an army guy, Steven. So, you know, when you switched hands there and you walk back behind the gun and he looked at me and he goes, yeah. And I go, well, if I was a bad guy, that's when I would have shot you right in the face. And the makeup lady was doing his makeup and I could see her just sort of freeze and sort of slowly turn around and look at me like, what are you doing? Don't talk to him like that. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, okay, I guess I won't change my feet then. All right, fine. And so, you know, we do another take and everything works out fine. But the makeup lady comes over to me afterwards and she's like, how do you get away with talking to him like that? And I'm like, well, you just, you know, got to treat him as one of the boys. And I had multiple times with him doing the same thing. Another time I had him firing an AK-47 over a car. And I said, Steven, you got to be right against the car because the person that's firing beside you, their casings could easily bounce off the glass and hit you. And with him, you don't want to have that kind of an issue going on because he's very sensitive about his hair and his face and makeup and all that stuff. And if something goes wrong, he's going to be gone for probably 3 or 4 hours and he's going to slow up the production while he gets all tuned up and looking good and all that stuff. Right. So, okay. So like three takes in first two takes, he's good. He hit his mark. Third take, missed his mark. Didn't hit the line that I asked him to fire from. And sure enough, casing bounces off the glass from the girl beside him and it hits him right in the bottom lip. Like dead center bullseye on the lip. Oh, yeah. And left a little carbon scuff mark on his lip. Well, as soon as the casing hit him in the face, it was like, and the gut, the AK-47 goes up in the air and it's, he's walking around like, I don't even know how to describe it, but I was like, holy crap. So I had to jump in there, grab this still hot AK-47 while he's raging around checking things out. So I pull the gun off of him. I unload it, make sure it's all good. And of course there's dead silence on set because, well, Steven's, he's lost it on set and he's going to start raging on somebody and it's probably going to be me. And so having the same relate, I had already done like 3 or 4 movies with a guy. So I knew him pretty well. And, so I said to him, I go, are you okay? He's like, yeah. And I said, you've probably been hit in the face with a lot worse than a empty casing. And he's like, yeah. And I go, well, it was lucky you didn't have your mouth open because if you did, it would have gone right in. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, you're right. It would have gone right in. And they turned around and he just walked off set. And again, it was probably the same makeup lady looking at me like, what did you just say to him? How do you get away? And then he was gone for 3 hours getting his makeup.
Getting his act together again.
Yeah, getting sorted out, you bet.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, yeah, I've got lots of stories about that guy. He makes it interesting on set all the time.
Well, I think we're going to have to, make it
another episode.
Yeah, and we're going to have to do this every, you're going to have a story every episode or every second of this. I'm struggling to figure out how often I could probably get you to record
an armor story.
Yeah, we are close. Yeah. So hopefully we'll get you back again. And for another story, that's always fun to listen to because every once in a while, someone will see the movie you're talking about and they're like, oh yeah, I know when that happened.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming out, Ryan, and the great stories and sharing them with everybody. So I will get you back soon, and I really appreciate it.
Now. Sounds good. Anytime.
It's a fact that licensed gun owners do not represent a disproportionate risk to public safety. Yet whether it's backdoor gun registries, complex regulations, or unreasonable penalties for paperwork offenses, Canada's anti-gun bureaucrats will never stop trying to eliminate your will or ability to own and use firearms. Take action. Take a stand and join the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights by visiting us at www.firearmrights.ca.
So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everybody for the support. Thanks everybody for all the work that you guys do in calling Minister Goodale, telling him that you don't like being patronized and victimized for no reason, you haven't done anything, and everything else that we all do as individual advocates. And that includes even dealing with the liberal trolls on the internet. I know how frustrating that can be,
But even if you're not out there on the front lines doing anything else, if you're just debating with people online, that is a huge thing you can do to protect your own rights. So yeah, I just want to give everybody a shout out that actually spends time and tries to politely educate others, because you get a lot of abuse gets slung your way. It's a dirty job, but at least you can do it from home. How about that? Once again, thank you to Black Rifle Coffee Company for the sponsorship. Really appreciate it. They're going to be they're now sponsoring the podcast as well. So you're going to hear a Black Rifle Coffee Company commercial at some point in the near future, and you'll probably see their banner around on our website and stuff. So they've been very, very helpful to the CCFR. So if you like coffee, there's one place you can go. And that's about it. So as I said before, if you can donate to the CCFR, please do that. If you can get a membership, if you're not a member yet, please do that. Let's keep the pressure on these people. More to come in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.